I want to talk this morning. It's a very simple message, but let me start out by just laying a little foundation here. In the Bible, we see God communicating with people in various ways, right? He communicates in lots of different ways with different people. Sometimes we see audible, direct communication. Maybe it's just subtle internal promptings with someone else. In 1 Samuel 1:3, Samuel, remember the little boy Samuel? He heard an audible voice as a young boy. He heard God calling his name in the middle of the night, but at first he didn't even know it was God. He thought it was Eli the priest. But after a little time, it got clear to him that, oh, it was God calling. And see, that's how it is with us sometimes. We're in a baby stage, and we don't really know if it's God or if it's not God. And we're trying to figure out whose voice that is. Is that the voice we're to listen to? In 1 Kings 19:12, we have Elijah, and there's a gentle whisper that God speaks to him in. And God spoke to Elijah, the Bible says, not in the wind, even though sometimes God can be very ba-bum to you, okay? Not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but at this particular time, he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice, or another translation says, a gentle whisper. In Exodus 3, you have Moses, and God spoke with sort of a lot going on. There was a fiery bush, a bush that caught fire, and it was a supernatural manifestation. Now, some people think that's the only way God speaks. It's not. But that's when he communicated to Moses that he was going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. In Acts 9, you have Paul, and on the road to Damascus, he clearly hears the voice of Jesus, and it changed his whole life. And so you have people in the Bible like Jonah, like David, like Peter, and others hearing the voice of God. But I submit to you that even when God is speaking, there are some, and sometimes we're in that some, who have issues hearing it. In John 12, let's put that up on the screen, Dan. John 12, 27 through 30. You have Jesus speaking. He's explaining to his disciples what's getting ready to happen and how he is going to give his life for all mankind. And he says this, "Now my soul is troubled, so what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Because for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Because he knew that was the will of God. The Bible says, then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it," meaning his name, "and I will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it. Now, notice it says they heard something. They heard it. They said three things. Number one, that it had thundered, some said. Number two, that an angel had spoken to him, others said. But number three, Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." Yet some thought it was thunder, and some thought it was an angel. So you have all these people in the exact same experience, but yet reporting very differently. I have to admit, when I read that, it reminds me of when I'm talking to married couples, okay? And you're like, "Were y'all in the same room?" Because he'll go, "Well, this happened, and she said this, and then I said," and then she'll go, "No, I said that, and then you said this." And I'm like, "Oh, whew." And so I start translating for them like they're speaking foreign languages, you know, and I translate for each of them what the other one is saying, because I can translate easily because I'm not coming from a selfish place, and I don't really have this vested thing in the outcome, and I'm not mad already, and I don't have history of the things they've done that have irritated me. And so I can actually translate what they're really saying. And then maybe we haven't sent them to fight school. You know what fight school is, right? You see, it's not martial arts. It's not where you learn all these, you know, fancy moves. It's when you first get married. If you don't learn how to fight, you will decimate each other. And so some people, they go, "She raised her voice." Because, see, in their family, no one ever raised their voice. And so if you raise your voice, it's like the cardinal sin. And I go, "In my family, if you don't raise your voice, nobody's going to hear you." Okay. And so you people come from all these different places and all these different styles of communication. And so you have to learn how to communicate with your spouse in a way, even when you're disagreeing, fight school, so that it doesn't really harm the other one and mess you up irretrievably. And so sometimes we go, that's in premarital counseling, isn't there? How to deal with conflict, it's called. It's not called fight school. It's called how to deal with conflict. Okay, and so you'll be going through that, Paul and Nayeli. And so anyway, so today I want to talk a little bit about hearing his voice and knowing him. Hearing his voice and knowing him. Because I want to submit to you that it's very difficult to hear his voice right if you try to separate it from knowing him. Try to separate it from knowing him. And that's what people want to do. So let me do this for a minute. Oh, barely? And so that might mess up the video, and you can fix it, Dan, whatever you have to do. But see, some of you might think she needs to talk louder. But then I might think they need to move closer. Okay? And so do I need to talk louder? Or do you need to get closer? And so part of the vision of this church, written down plainly from when we first founded it, was that we wanted to raise up people who were able to hear the voice of God for themselves. Now, this does not mean creating a weird independent fragment of people who go, God told me, and they go off and do some strange thing. This does not mean we're not accountable to one another. It does not mean we don't submit things to one another. It doesn't imply that there's no teaching or confirmation that needs to be had, that there's no covering for safety. But it was important to us that we made it clear to people that, number one, God speaks to us today. Number two, God does not desire his voice to be elusive in our lives. Number three, it's part of our inheritance or our right as a child of God to hear from him. And number four, no child of God is disqualified from being a hearer of the voice of God. Now, there are things that can make it more difficult to hear on our end. There are. But God never does disqualify us. But if we in our own heads, you know, we get in our heads all the time, if we start to agree with certain thoughts, we can end up believing the lie that we can't hear. We were trying to find a new location. Easy and Alan and I were very frustrated that when our other lease was up and we were trying to find a new location, we couldn't find one for a while. So we actually rented from another church and had 3:30 in the afternoon services. And some of you might go, can we go back to that? Ooh, I'll sleep in on Sunday mornings. But we did 3:30, and we didn't lose anybody. People came at 3:30 in the afternoon. But we did that for a while, but we began to get very frustrated because we didn't know where we were supposed to move. And we couldn't find the right place. And so we started saying, we got into this bad habit after a while of that going, what are we doing wrong? We must be doing something wrong. What are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? Ugh. Then I'd go, I don't know what we're doing wrong, but we just can't find a place. And Easy would go, we must be doing something wrong. And Alan would go, if we knew what we were doing wrong. And a friend of mine who was very prophetic and who was like a seer in the spirit didn't know we were saying all that to each other. And she called and she goes, the Lord is saying to me that y'all keep thinking you're doing something wrong and you have to all stop that. And I'm like, whoa. And see, we had become in agreement with the thought that we were doing something wrong. And so if we weren't careful, it was going to be very hard to hear the voice of God because all we were hearing was that we were doing something wrong. What are you hearing that's drowning out the voice of God? That was our doing something wrong phase. And God said, get out of that so you can hear me. And so it's a lie that we cannot hear. See, we were beginning to think we could not hear because we were doing something wrong. Why do you think you can't hear? What lie are you believing? Now, how do I know that it's a lie that I cannot hear? Well, the Bible, God's word to us, that's a sure word, a word we can stand on without wavering, says this. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. If you're a sheep, you will know his voice. So if we're born again, the people of God, the sheep of his pasture, we will know his voice. Now, I might say, learn how to know his voice. Grow in hearing his voice. But we will. Now, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, Notice, I know them, and they follow me. There is a distinct correlation between hearing and following. Now, if you hear instruction, then you'll know which way to go. I have to add this. I've been doing this a long time. It's very sad and humorous at the same time to me that for people who want to know God's instruction so much, half the time when he tells them, they don't do it. All right. But we'll leave that alone. That's for another sermon. So early in our marriage, Easy and I, we were married 47 years before he went to be with the Lord about 10 months ago. Early in our marriage, I had made this decision to do something. And it had disappointing, not good results. And I was very frustrated. And Easy wasn't trying to rub it in, but just in conversation, he said to me, "Well, I didn't think you were supposed to do that." And I go, "What?" And he said, "I didn't think you were supposed to do that." And I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And he says, "I did." I said, "You did? When? What did you say? And when did you say it?" And he goes, "Well, you were telling me all about it, and you were giving me all your thoughts." And I said, "I don't know if I'd do that." And then I said, "What?" I said, "That little fleeting mention, that little interjection, that means nothing to me. That's not how I talk. I just thought you were saying you wouldn't do it. You didn't say I shouldn't do it." It just sounded like a passing thought to me, like there was nothing on it, like whoosh in the wind, like a reed in the wind. I would never take that to be a warning of any kind. And he goes, "Well, what did you expect me to say?" And I said, "Well, if you want me to hear it, you need to go, honey, listen to me. This is important. Don't do it." "I don't feel like you're supposed to do it." Then say it again. "Honey, do you hear me?" "Don't do it. I do not feel good about it." I go, "Because that's how I say stuff." I say a thing. I say it clearly. I say it real straight. Then I repeat it in some other manner. And so how I talk is how I hear. Because that's how I would communicate it. So since it wasn't communicated to me like that at all, it didn't even sound like he was saying much. And so we tend to hear according to how we expect a thing to be communicated. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 3, we have the account of the Lord calling out to Samuel as a young boy, like I mentioned before, teaching him, though, to recognize his voice. He had to call over and over until Samuel got familiar with it. The Lord will work with you. He will get you used to how he speaks, and he will communicate with you maybe differently than with your partner or your friend or somebody else you know in church. And over a period of time, though, you become more and more and more familiar with it. Some of the people that I wanted to use as an example are not here, but I'm still going to give my example. There was a Sunday. Maybe you were here. Maybe it was a month or so ago, and I was just standing at my chair, and the Lord kept giving me this feeling. Now, when I say I had a strong feeling, it is not my soul. It is not my mind, my will, and my emotions. And the people that are used to me for a long time know it's an unction in my spirit. I get a nudge in my spirit, an impression. And so when I say I feel, it's not when you go, "I feel sad," or "I feel mad." No, when I go, "I feel," that means what I feel the Lord is feeling. And over a period of time, you should have your emotions so submitted to God that your feelings don't supersede what God is feeling in the room, okay? But anyway, I started feeling like there was some anointing over on this side of the room. And so I was at my place, and I just kept going, And at this, and at right around the same time, I kept getting this thought, these words, which is how God will speak to me in words. And some people get visions, I get words. And I kept getting these words about grandparents and blessing grandparents. And I'm like, "What?" I go, "I've never given a word about grandparents." And so I'm sort of talking with God in my head. And I'm like, "And then if I say that, God, then the people that like want to have grandchildren, they're going to feel sad. And then the people that like, you know," I had all these thoughts going on. But the grandparent thing kept pressing on me. But then more than that, I kept feeling pulled to this side of the room. So I walked over here and I go, "Somebody over here has something they're supposed to say. Somebody on this side." And everybody's like, no, not me. And I, no. And I just go, "Somebody over here has a word." who has it? And everybody just looks at their neighbor and nobody has it, okay? And so then I'm like, okay, maybe it's just me supposed to give the grandparent thing. I give the grandparent thing, and then Troy goes, all right, it's me. And he said, what did you share? It was about your grandmother. It was about how when you were little and your grandmother said, they thought you might die or they thought you might not make it, but your grandmother spoke, and because of your grandmother's words, you know, you were here and you were wanting to give thanks for that. But see, what you don't know. So, wow. So he spoke to me in the way he speaks to me. Then I released the peace I have. But then as I did, then it helped him start to recognize that, oh, that feeling, that thought he had on him, that was God. But then what you don't know is that way over here was Dominique and her son, Khalil. And Dominique had just moved here, and she was applying for jobs, and it was very discouraging, and it was hard, and she hadn't found anything yet. And she was actually sitting there during our little worship set. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's okay. This is a show and tell sermon. We can all participate. And it was something like, because she told him later, she goes, I was sitting there feeling so discouraged. And I was even thinking something like, why was I born? Or like, why was I even born? Nothing's going right. And then when he said that about the grandparents, she began to remember that when she was a baby, her grandmother said, there's a purpose for this child and blah, 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 blah. And so his word ministered to her at the very moment that the devil was trying to come in with all this discouragement. And so God spoke to me, to him, to her. He can do multiple things in one moment. God is good all the time, all the time. And you might think, well, I don't know why they went through all that and Lena had to walk over to that side. Well, you know what? God loved her so much. And God loved him so much. See, and God loves you so much that now you're getting the blessing of all that testimony. And so God was constantly talking to us. And he has a purpose and a reason. And so the Lord will work with you. He will get you used to how he speaks. It might take a period of time. Little by little, you get more and more familiar with how to recognize it. Remember, Jen, when we were at Janine's house and we were in a circle praying, and I'm like, God, and Jen used to never, ever have a word. See, you walk in the and you go, oh, just get, Jen gets those words for the visitors and she just reads their mail. Jen was just quiet. She just never talked. Like, she just prayed quietly. And then I was standing next to her and I go, you have a word. No. And I go, I think you do. And then I think you do. Just one word. I go, say the one word. And it was just one word, wasn't it? And then somebody else had a word that had that word in it. But that helped her know that one word was God speaking. And from that one word, that has grown. And now visitors get blessed. Visitors she's never met. Because she speaks to them things that are deep in their heart or things they're going through that only God knows. She's never met them. But it also encourages her because she learned how God speaks. Now, in Psalm 29, David says the phrase, the voice of the Lord, seven times. David depended on the voice of the Lord to lead him and to guide him. A few weeks ago, Clyde came. And we, you know, he came to minister, Clyde Lewis. And he always brings a great message, but he also moves in the prophetic. And so people before Clyde comes say things like, maybe I'll get a word. Or maybe you'll get a word. And someone else might say, I need a word. And one time Easy said, I don't need any more words. He had gotten so many prophetic words, he goes, I don't need any more words. But when Dale Gentry came to minister, and Dale Gentry figures very heavily into our testimony, and he's mentioned many times in the book of Easy's Never Give Up, Dale Gentry says this, one word from God can change your life. But sometimes the word from God that changes your life the most is not even a prophetic word that someone brings. It's the word you hear for yourself, that he loves you. See, just hearing from him that he loves you changes your life. That somebody unconditionally loves you in your sin, in your mess, with all your screw-ups, he loves you. That you're forgiven, that changes your life when you hear that. That he's with you, that he will take you from where you are to where you need to be. See, I heard that. I was sick It was 1988, 89. He said that to me. I had this illness. I was at this conference where they were teaching on healing, but I was sick. Easy prayed with people. They got well, but I was sick. The doctor said if I kept on like that, they didn't know if I was going to be able to walk, if I would eventually, it would lead to being in a wheelchair. And I knelt at a chair, and I was crying, and my teardrops were hitting the seat of the chair. And I said, God, it's like I'm here and you're there, and I don't know how to get from here to there. And he said, I will take you from where you are to where you need to be. See, I will take you from where you are to where you need to be. That changed my life. 10 prophetic words could have helped me that much. I could depend on him. He is faithful and true. See, his whole character was wrapped up in that word. That word changed my thinking. It didn't all depend on me anymore. I could depend on him. Where I was weak and lacking, he was strong. I was going to be okay. It didn't all depend on me getting it right. And see, while a prophecy might give you hope or insight, and I don't want to, you know, demean those in any way or minimize those, that word that I heard, see, that's why we need to cultivate the ability to hear from him. It gave me the ability to hang on until my healing came, knowing that I didn't have to make things happen. In 1976, I had just been born again for a short time, about 2 months. And I was full of questions about the state of my life and my circumstances. And I began pouring my heart out to God about what I thought I needed in my life and my whole list of, you know, prayer requests and things that I thought needed to happen. But I have never forgotten in all these 50 years the phrase that he caused to resound in my head. And it was loud. It was not an audible voice. Some people have heard an audible voice. I did not. But it was like audible inside my head. And he said, I am all that you need. I am all that you need. And that word has framed my life. See, when prophecies seemed like they could never happen, when prayers seemed like they were hitting the ceiling, when trials came, when troubles came, when it felt like, how am I going to make it? I went back to, I am all that you need. See, it was still there. That same word from God was still alive, living, active. It was still able to pierce through darkness. It could still bring a pinhead of light into my situation. When I didn't know what to hold on to, I would hold on to, I am all that you need. As long as I have you, Lord, I'll be okay. A 50-year-old word can be full of power because it was for me. But here's what I want to make clear today. Unless we are convinced of the good intentions and the unblemished character and the heart of love and the goodness of the one speaking, we can be suspicious of even a word of encouragement. A word meant to bring hope. We can translate in our screwed up thinking, I am all that you need into, well, I'm not going to give you much. I am all that you need might be like, just satisfied, be satisfied just that you know me. I am all that you need, you might think, quit needing so much. Enough with all your list. See, I am all that you need can take on a whole different feeling. That is not in line with the character, the nature, the heart of God. So if you do not have a right understanding of the very nature and heart of God, the comfort, the assurance, the rest that his word is designed to bring never comes. So the very intent and purpose of the word is diminished. What good is it if you get a word, but you have no trust in the one who delivers it? There's people, if they give me their word, I know it's a done deal. I don't have to worry. It's going to happen. It's as good as gold. I've got it. And there's people, they tell me something, and you're like, we'll see. So even with God, if you have not gotten to the place where you can totally trust him, you can end up doubting or disobeying or distorting the very word of God, the one he gives you, because of lack of trust in him. So hearing his voice and knowing him have to be intertwined elements in how this equation works, right? Years and years and years ago, we were in our first location. And remember Jackie and Mike on the praise and worship team? And yeah, remember Chris, Jackie, and Mike. Okay, was that in y'all's day? They go way back. They go back to the 90s. We had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker was a good guest speaker, preached a good sermon, good message. But somewhere in it, they misquoted a scripture. I don't know if they read it wrong or they just got mixed up, but they misquoted a scripture, okay? And the way they said it, it made it mean something that it didn't exactly mean. But, I mean, if you knew your Bible, you could look at it and figure out what they were trying to say. It was a simple misquote. And so Jackie comes up to me, and she goes, well, I really didn't like the guest speaker today. You know, they misquoted a scripture. And I said, Jackie, if you're listening, I'm going to use you for an example, and you're going to help these people. Okay, and so, and I go, Jackie, I've heard Easy misquote scriptures a lot. You don't say a thing, and you just love him, and you think the sermon was great, and you get a lot out of it. And Easy has said stuff like that before. And Jackie goes, but we know him, and we know he loves us, so we know what he means. Whoa. You give him the benefit of the doubt. We love him. We know he loves us, so we know what he means. Woo. How you feel about the person giving you the word has a whole lot to do with how you receive the word and what it means to you. Okay? We know him. We know he loves us. So we know what it means. Jackie Walker. You help these people, Jackie. The Bible says, them that know their God will be strong and do exploits. We've got to know him so that when we hear him, we really get the message that he's trying to convey. 10 people can hear, but the one who knows him will trust what he says. Stand to your feet with me. Father, I thank you for seeing eyes and hearing ears. Lord, we thank you that we will hear your voice, but Lord, that also we will be so established in who you are, that our trust will be so secure in you, that we will have history, not just a story, his story or her story. We will have history with you, where we will know how you are woven through all the events and episodes of our life. And then we will be able to see your hand. And so then the next thing you say, we can trust you. Because you do want to lead us and you do want us to hear your voice. You do want to guide us every step of the way. So we thank you and we praise you. I thank you for the work you're doing in each heart under the sound of my voice. And we ask that this message just become real in every single one of us. And I ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree, say amen. Amen.